Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
We are now in Grand Canyon Cavern and Inn in Peach Springs, Arizona. Now, as we went in, Emily, we talked to the lady, and the caverns are haunted.
Yeah, she... Well, actually, right when we pulled up, I got a weird feeling about this place. Like, it looks like a perfect place for a zombie invasion.
Yeah, she... you also got so scared because the person, the lady who had us in, was talking about ghosts, talking about how this is haunted.
Yeah, they said this place is haunted and that they do ghost hunts here and that the ghosts follow her around sometimes. And now Eric wants to do a spirit journey. And
well, here's the thing. We made a promise to you earlier, audience, that we were going to contact Emily's spirit wolf and find out if when the aliens come, December 21st, 2012, if they will be benevolent entities or if they will be, you know, if they're going to try to destroy us, if they're going to try to have us mine for gold for them, like L. Ron Hubbard said they would.
Right. So... we wanted to ask my spirit wolf, but I'm a little bit worried about entering the spirit world right now.
Because she thinks that there's demons around, and if you open the portal, uh-oh, here comes a demon.
Right, exactly.
Okay, my interpretation... we're going to go to the caverns tomorrow. There's apparently haunted caverns in the... if you go to Grand Canyon Caverns and Inn in Peach Springs, Arizona, there's haunted caverns back there. So right. We're going to investigate that tomorrow. So... look forward to that. But right now, Emily, what I want you to do is listen to my voice. I'm going to be your shaman right now. So just lay down. We have to talk to SW, a.k.a. Spirit Wolf, and have him tell us what's up with the alien sitch.
Okay.
You are clear your mind of everything. I'm your shaman, Eric Hollebuck. This is Highway Diary. Now, what I want you to imagine is that you're walking upstairs.
Okay.
You're still walking up those stairs, right? So far, at the top of the stairs is just a blinding light. You walk into it. You walk through the light, and now you're in woods, and you smell the musty woods. The musty wood smell.
Okay. I'm there. It's beautiful.
A little more enthusiastic.
And relaxing.
Okay. Now, you're in the woods, but now you find a different path. A dirt
different path?
Okay, listen to my voice. I'm Eric Hollebuck, your fucking shaman!
I don't want to go off path.
Stop heckling back! Get into a trance!
This is my spirit world.
I'm trying to talk to your spirit wolf. I know something about shamanism. They monopolize the conversation.
I know where the spirit wolf hangs out.
Well, maybe he also is down. I wrote down notes when you told me the journey that Alan took you to get to the spirit wolf. I wrote down notes afterward, and I'm looking at my notes right now. This is exactly what you told me happened.
No, I said I went on a dirt path.
That's what I was going to say, a different path, a dirt path. I was in the middle of saying dirt path.
I know, but I don't want to go down a different path. I want to go down the path that I've been down before.
Okay. When I said different path, you're in a wooded path first. We smell the musty wood.
Right.
Yeah. And, right?
I'm uncomfortable with this path.
Okay. So how about you fucking lay back and you fucking listen?
I want to go down the same path.
I'm talking SW. This is Highway Diary.
You know what? Let's go to your spirit world.
No, and you can't handle my spirit world.
I'll take you down the darkest path I find, and we'll see what your spirit animal looks like. Because it's going to be a fucking monster with four heads and zombie legs.
No, it's going to be a bunny rabbit that I rape all the time and is scared of me. My spirit rabbit. I know all about him. He's sexy, and I like to fuck him.
Gross.
Can you get into the mood? Please get into this, Emily. Otherwise, we're not going to talk to your spirit wolf.
Okay, but just let me find him. I know where he is.
What? So we're going to listen to you talking to yourself now?
Why do we have to go down a different path? I know where my spirit wolf ain't
go. Can you just listen to the rest of the story? All right. God damn it.
All right.
You go upstairs. It's an escalator this time, so we can get on with it. You go into a light. You go out of the light. You're going in woods now. Beautiful woods. You smell musty smell of deer shit or whatever.
Okay.
Porcupine cum. The woods. Nature at its finest. Right. You in there?
Yeah, I'm there.
You smell the woods. Okay. Now you go down another path.
Oh, dear.
You keep walking in the woods. All of a sudden now it's dirt.
But it was dirt before.
Right. This is a new journey. This is happening now. Okay. So now it's dirt again.
Okay.
Do you see an animal?
I don't know. I'm just so relaxed that it's hard to say.
Can you shut the fuck up? Stop heckling back and get into it.
All right. I'm on.
I'm trying to lay down a vibe.
All right. The vibe that you're laying down is extremely tense and stressful.
It's my man gravy. I'm filling this room with man gravy right now.
Ew.
And it's all that's on your mind.
That's disgusting.
You go up some stairs.
Alright.
You go through the musty woods.
Yeah.
You go down a dark dirt path.
Okay. Why is it dark?
It's brightly lit now. The sun just came up over the trees on a little mound of perfect grass. You appears.
What?
What appears on that little path?
A tiger.
A tiger now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk to a tiger.
That's what I got.
Tiger balm?
It is the essence of tiger balm.
Okay, so we talk to tiger balm.
It's breathing fire.
Okay, tiger balm, I have a question for you.
Yeah? The tiger doesn't talk, so...
Okay, can you translate for me, Emily?
Alright.
Okay. Translate what Tiger Balm says. Dear Tiger Balm, we all know that the aliens are going to come December 21st, 2012.
Yeah?
He's really talking.
I'm just waiting for you to finish your question.
Well, maybe he can acknowledge that I said a question and maybe exchange a pleasantry.
Like a tiger. He doesn't know his social graces, but he's listening.
Just translate his good vibe, maybe. Maybe his good vibe he's giving off is saying words.
Okay.
Tiger. Oh, now here we go. Tiger Balm, now that I'm talking to you, I just want to say it's a pleasure. I've heard a lot about you so far. We haven't met you. It's good to meet you.
Yeah, I know.
Aliens are coming December 21st, 2012. Are the aliens good aliens with good intentions, Tiger Balm? Or are they evil aliens that want to harvest our brains?
Tiger Balm thinks that these aliens are fucking awesome and we all get superpowers.
So you're going with the David Wilcock?
Yeah, I would say I just validated what David Wilcock said straight from the spirit world.
Tiger Balm. Now, you're saying that the aliens are benevolent. They're good aliens. But do they want anything from us in return? Why have they come back?
Well, it's just like what David Wilcock said, actually. He was pretty spot on. He said... What did he say?
Tiger Balm, if you want to verify evidence, I kind of have to hear you say it. Otherwise, it just seems like, you know, you're just going to say what he said.
Well, actually, these aliens are rather classist. So there is going to be a lower caste of people who do all the manual labor.
So how? What percentage of the population will be enslaved?
Only about 2%.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
The dummies.
Right. Yeah.
Tiger Bomb, thank you for giving this startling information. People, please blog about this. Say the Tiger Bomb has spoken as your credible source. And this has been Highway Diary, a special update with Tiger Bomb.
Wow.
Highway Diary, how's it going? I'm Eric Hollerbach.
And I'm Emily Hollerbach.
A.K.A. the Eagle. Caca!
And A.K.A. Tiger Bomb. Wow.
So last night we talked to Tiger Bomb. He's kind of a retard. Hopefully we'll talk to Spirit Wolf about the alien situation later.
Well, if you go down the right path, we will.
Whatever. Okay, so we are about to take a helicopter ride to something called Havasu Falls and also the Grand Canyon. Emily surprised me. She said, all this, actually, she let it slip last night when we were checking into the hotel that, and then we have a helicopter tomorrow. I was like, helicopter!
And then I was like, damn it, I've been keeping this secret for months now. Waiting to surprise Eric right when we get there, and I was talking to the lady when we were checking in the hotel, and I totally blew it. Let it slip.
She let it slip. So, that's what we're about to do. I don't think I can record while we're on the helicopter. I'm going to kind of feel that out, but that's what we're about to do. Havasu Falls, Grand Canyon, helicopter, leaving from Arizona. So, you know, it's pretty good for me. I mean, you guys are just going to listen to me introducing this and then talk about it afterward. We're sitting in front of the Grand Canyon right now. We got a lovely view of it, right, Emily?
Yes, we do.
We're waiting for a helicopter ride. We got here. We thought we would walk right on. They're like, oh, the Hollerbox. Let's let them on. But actually, there's a waiting list, so
it's unfortunate.
We're waiting for the helicopter. In the meantime, we decide to record a little podcast. Now, we're from a town called Long Valley, New Jersey. And, you know, the police force is a pretty crack team down there when you're in Long Valley. It's a middle-class neighborhood. Really, there's no crime. And so the cops don't always feel like it's necessary when they're on duty to have all their wits about them. So, Emily was telling me a story earlier. You came across a cop once when you were on your bicycle, right, Em?
Yeah, me and my friend Liz were riding our bikes around the neighborhood just for fun, for a little exercise, and it was the evening time. And we went by this first aid station that is just in the middle of our neighborhood. And this cop was parked there, and he was trying to get into his car. He was stumbling so hard from left to right and jabbing his key at the door. He couldn't get in. He was way too hammered. And
he's in his cop outfit, right?
Yeah,
he's uniformed up.
His full uniform, with his cop car, everything. And so,
so he's driving around the cop car, shit-faced.
Totally. So we yell over to him, "Hello, officer. Do you need any civilian assistance?"
I am fine. Go about your business.
No, he said, "Go on, get out of here, girls." He thought that we were, like, little kids riding around our bicycles. Actually, we were about 22 years old at the time. But
nothing to see here.
Yeah. He was basically like, "Go on, get out of here, kids." So we were debating at that time whether or not to make a civilian arrest, strap him to the back of our bicycles, and ride him up the mountain to the police station.
You should have just commandeered the cop car.
Yeah, we thought about it. We thought about taking his keys, strapping our bikes to the back of his car, putting him in the back seat, putting on all the sirens, and taking him back to the police station.
Unbelievable. Yeah. The cops in Long Valley, New Jersey, drunk all the time, hanging out. And also, this first aid stand, you know, I'm sure it has supplies and maybe an ambulance inside it or something. But I think he just happened to have the keys because he's a worker. I'm just going to take a nap on a cot in the, you know what I mean, in the first aid stand.
Oh, they were having a party in there.
Oh, all the cops were having a party?
I don't know who else was in there, but there was like a party going on in the first aid station. And so his was the only car outside, though, but there were still lights on inside. So there must have been other people there.
The cops using city buildings for their parties.
Right. Yeah. They also have a paddy wagon. Like, the cops in Long Valley are so well equipped. I don't know what they think is going to happen one day. They have a paddy wagon.
A paddy wagon's like a car, like a big truck where you can arrest like 12 people at once and put them all in the paddy wagon.
Right. The only reason I could ever think that they would actually use it is if they bust like an underage drinking party and decide to put all these teenagers into a paddy wagon.
That's about the crime, the level of crime going on.
That's what happens in Long Valley.
Well, we got some news stories here. Woman pees, bathes in subway car in bizarre New York City incident. Basically, all that happened, there's a YouTube video where a lady just pees and then sponge bathes herself. Have you ever seen anything weird in the New York City subway, Emily? You're about to move to New York.
I've seen more weird stuff in San Francisco, actually. Like one time, we're walking up the street and this woman is pulling down her pants and running past us. She almost bumps into my friend. And she pulls down her pants all the way and just shits right in front of us into this potted plant on the sidewalk. And she had blue pubic hair. I didn't want to see all of this, but it all happened so fast.
So you saw some raver girl take a shit in a potted plant in the street?
She was old. She was real old. Like, she was probably about 65 years old.
And her pubes were proper blue, or were they gray?
No, they were bright blue. Like, dyed blue.
They were ready for parties.
They were ready for parties, yeah.
I remember I, in New York City, I went to New School University, and I got on it was really packed. All the subway cars were really packed, but there was one car that was dead empty. And so, you know, when you see a dead empty car, you're like, oh, I can get a seat now, you know, so let me go in there. So then I walk in, and then the smell, just a wall of smell hits me. And I see a homeless guy taking up two seats, and he is, okay, he's basically made a tent out of his clothes, like rags and stuff. He's tied them together, made a tent for these two seats. And he was shitting on the floor. And there was just a tremendous amount of diarrhea on the floor under his tented situation that he's made a bunker out of the two chairs.
One time in San Francisco, across the street from my job, I saw this old man. He was dressed like the Gordon's fisherman. Like, he had a bright yellow jacket, bright yellow short shorts, and a bright yellow fisherman's hat. And he was wandering around talking to himself. And he stops, and I'm looking at him because he's right in front of the ATM that I want to go use. And just diarrhea just starts pouring down his leg. Just pouring down.
He was ready for any rain that would come because he was wearing a slicker. He was not ready for any brown on the inside of his clothes.
So he just stops mid-walk, lets it happen, and then continues on his way. He leaves behind a puddle on the sidewalk.
Our philosophy about drugs is a little different than other people's, probably.
I think that our philosophy about drugs is the same as most of America.
Which is that what?
Weed is amazing.
Excellent. So here is, now, for those of you out there who don't think that drugs have done anything for society, five greatest things ever accomplished while high. Francis Crick discovers DNA thanks to LSD. This guy, Francis Crick, is a scientist. He was, at Cambridge, and he was working on with genes and working on genomes. But it wasn't until he took LSD, he saw a double helix. And then he woke up and he was like, I just figured it all out! Figured out DNA.
Yeah. I think that's definitely possible. I was just watching this other thing. My friend Cynthia sent me a link to this video. She described it to me. I haven't watched it yet. But it was about MDMA and... Or no. It was about acid. Yeah, LSD. Okay. Yeah. And this... It was in the 50s when they were doing experiments. The government was experimenting with it, and so they had this one volunteer who was a housewife, and she took it, and she was sitting there just in her own little world, and she was just saying, we are all connected. And the interviewer was saying, how do you feel right now? She says, me? There is no me. Everything is the
same.
Next
level shit.
Yeah.
She was a guru all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Drops four tablets acid.
Yep.
She gets it.
She understood the meaning of life and the entire secret of the universe.
Dalai Lama, go fuck yourself. Give a housewife LSD.
Don't say that about the Dalai Lama.
Freud and cocaine invent psychoanalysis. If you think Freud could have developed psychoanalysis and listening to people blah, 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 talk about their problems without cocaine, you got another thing coming.
Freud was kind of a douchebag. I don't think that coke is a good drug.
Doc Ellis, he was made MLB history by throwing a no-hitter while on LSD. Doc Ellis.
What's a no-hitter?
That's when you're pitching and you just get out every single batter.
Oh, okay. So he could see the air and he could see the geometric patterns in the air and he knew exactly how to throw it through the air.
He's not looking at a ball throwing into a glove. He's looking at the spirit world, the metadata of reality. He's looking at geometric shapes coming off. He's looking at insecurities coming off the batter. He's doing next level shit, man.
Yep.
Coke addict makes Coke-flavored Coca-Cola, calls it Coke. If you think Coca-Cola, which is one of the biggest corporations in the United States, is not thanks to cocaine, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life?
What?
The guy who made Coca-Cola, right? Was a Coke addict.
Right.
And he put Coke in it because he loved Coke and he wanted to spread it around. And now they sell they took the Coke out, but they sell about 400 billion cans of the stuff a year now.
Yeah.
Thanks, cocaine, for starting off Coke.
I want to try coca leaves, but I don't ever want to do Coke because Coke is too processed.
I know, me neither. I would never do Coke.
Yeah, I think, but chewing on the natural coca leaves... They do that in South America.
Yeah, they just give you a bunch of the cocaine leaves to kind of chew on, and it kind of gives you a bit of energy, and it helps you make a long hike.
Right.
That's like the unprocessed version. And I guess it kind of gives you like a, almost like a nicotine kind of rush or something like that. It's like a natural kind of...
Caffeine, I think.
Yeah. We're on our way to Sedona from Arizona, and we were just in Peach Springs, Arizona. We're spending the night in Sedona. Tomorrow it's going to be a massage and a hike. Not in that order. We're at the Grand Canyon, and we took a helicopter down. Now, when you first said that we were taking a helicopter, Tiger Bomb, I was saying... I thought it was going to be like a tourist helicopter. Like, hey, look at this waterfall. Look at this. Look at this. But it was just actually a transportation helicopter that takes you down into a Indian reservation. Now, Indians live on the bottom, the floor of the Grand Canyon. They're called the Supai tribe, S-U-P-A-I. And we took a helicopter down, and there's also these giant waterfalls down there as well. So we came down to the Supai tribe.
Yeah.
And anyway, well, so that was what we did. So I lost my sunglasses earlier in the day, and I had very manly looking black frame sunglasses, really badass. But I lost them immediately as soon as the trip started. I lost them, right?
So I lent you some of mine.
Yeah, and you gave me big ones with like gold rims on them. I looked like a mob wife or like. You know.
Right. They're pretty feminine.
They're very feminine. I'm also wearing like a tight black stripy shirt. So I'm looking, you know, when you go into the Supai tribe, you stand out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Big effeminate glasses, tight shirt. Like, you know, these people in the Supai tribe, they're like riding a horses around. Like, in that town, it makes sense to ride a horse around because you just feed it grass and then you hop on his back and you... Pot around the village, you know? So they all had horses. There was also stray dogs running around. So before we get on the helicopter, we say, hey, I got one pot brownie. Let's split this up. So we each take half of a pot brownie, and then I also was like, hey, you want to have a joint? And Emily said no. So, but there was this kid hanging out nearby. And why did you think he would be a good weed partner?
He just looked like a cool stoner kid.
Yeah. So there's this cool stoner kid hanging out. So I say, hey, man, you smoke weed? And he's like, yeah. And he's holding 10 hats for some reason. That was his luggage, right? And he's like, yeah, man. I was like, hey, I have a joint. You want to go smoke it? So we get into the car that we're in now, Emily's car, and we started smoking this, and we're just looking at the Grand Canyon, you know? It's pretty great. And
so you two have a moment.
We have a little hangout sesh, you know? Mainly I was asking him about the helicopter and stuff, like an idiot tourist and whatever. But he had mentioned that he has a boyfriend, and he also mentioned that, like, he lives in Phoenix, but he works at the cafe near the Supai tribe, like down, and the internet lab or whatever. So that's weird. It's like you live in Phoenix and then you drive every day 2 hours and then take a helicopter down to work in a cafe. His story kind of seemed weird to me. So anyway, we fly the helicopter down there. Emily and I, we run. And we go and look at the waterfall. We run back because we're not sure if we can get back till the last helicopter, because we keep hearing stories that they'll just leave you there if you don't get the last helicopter out of there. And I didn't really want to ride a donkey back up, and walking all the way back up the Grand Canyon was kind of out of the question. Because, you know, that's something that you have to prepare for, which we didn't at all. We're in city
clothes. I was a little prepared for that. I brought extra water and your disgusting power bars for okay. sustenance. Right. And I brought a couple knives and a flashlight. So if we had missed the last helicopter, we would have made it out of there.
Well, we couldn't have camped the night with those provisions.
Well, no, we would have gotten out of there. We would have hiked out.
But it would have taken like 7 hours.
Yeah, well, we would have done it. It was only 2 o'clock. We'd be out by 9.
Yeah. So, anyway, we run down to see the falls. They were beautiful. We got some pictures. We run back up. But on the way, I really had to pee. Now, my peeing has really gotten us in trouble a lot. Because I had to run away and go pee in the woods. And Emily, you scored. You got us a hitchhiking. Like you.
I did. I stuck my thumb out and I got us a ride on a golf cart type looking vehicle.
Right. And then I'm peeing up there. She goes, oh, hang on. Wait for my brother. Eric, come on. And I'm like, I'm peeing.
So this poor lady has to wait there for like 3 minutes while Eric's peeing.
I got quite a flow. I got a healthy flow. There's nothing wrong with that.
So I kept calling for him.
But, you know, the least you could do is get my back and try to stall this lady. Just try to ask her about herself. Try to be nice to her.
I was doing that. You took so long.
But then you were like, you say you were doing that, but when it was happening, you were like, oh, hey, oh, where's the waterfall? When's the next helicopter? Eric, get back here. Just keep stalling her. Keep
after
stalling
about
her.
A minute and a half, I was like,
I have a healthy flow.
Whatever.
It keeps going.
Anyway, so then we get back to the helicopter. No, when did you meet those people?
Yeah, so then we got back to the helicopter. We made sure that our name was on the list. Also, what's interesting about the helicopter is it's for the Supai tribe, and all money for the helicopter benefits the Supai tribe. And I noticed that the list where you sign up to take the helicopter ride, if you are a native, then you are left unmarked, and you get to skip and you get preferential treatment, right? But also, if you're like a white person or someone who pays for it, then they put a yellow dot next to your name, like you're marked for some reason.
Which I find offensive, because we are 1/16th American Indian. So what's with the yellow dot?
Now, don't tell... and I was embarrassed. Emily kept saying, we're 16th American Indian. We're 16th... We're on an Indian reservation. We're white people. Do you think they care that we're 16th American Indian?
Well,
they're like, I'm riding
true.
A horse around. Go suck my dick with your 1/16.
Well, it's true, and it's the cutoff point at when it counts.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. We didn't have enough Indian in our blood to not get a yellow dot next to our
So maybe if
face.
You let me tell them that we were 1/16th American Indian, then...
It's embarrassing.
You don't know any of the customs. You can't rain dance. You can't even make a drum out of a deer hide.
Doesn't matter.
Those are the requirements.
Who said that those are the requirements?
Well, all right. Well, if you want to go back to Grand Canyon and try to sweet that, talk them not to putting a yellow dot next to your name, your white name, Emily Hollerbog. I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my... So then we ran to go see Havasu Falls. And then we ran back, and on the way out, I saw that kid again. His name's Steven. And I went to go say hi to Steven. Now, the problem with a pot brownie for me is I always get a little bit starey. I kind of stop and stare too much. One time I had a pot brownie, and we went to Carney's, and I went to go order a chili cheeseburger. And, you know, the guy was like, can I take your order? And I was just smiling and staring at him. And they were like, sir? Still smiling. So I get very creepy when I have a pot brownie. So that's for starters. But I went over. Okay, you smoke weed with someone, you have a little joint, then you know, you think that you can go say hi to them, kind of check in. I like to check in on people, see how I'm feeling. Pretty stoned. How you feeling, man? You know, that kind of thing. So I went over to him, and then Emily, take it from here. What did you see?
Well, I saw Eric standing over there with this kid, Steven, and what looked like maybe Steven's Aunt Kathy. Like, she was a big woman, a very large woman. She looked part of the Supai tribe. She had long black hair and a ponytail. You know, just a big, big lady.
She seemed to be upset with me.
Well, get into that. So she said, well, I saw Eric go say hi to Steven. They were talking a little tiny bit, and then it looked like Aunt Kathy just got real pissed off. And so I was like, uh-oh, I don't know what Eric said. Maybe he was saying, got this kid in trouble, like he was talking about smoking weed or something, or maybe Steven wasn't supposed to ride the helicopter. Maybe his Aunt Kathy wanted him to ride a donkey down the hill instead, like a good Supai tribes member.
So there's three ways to go down from the parking area to the Grand Canyon where the Supai tribe is. One was helicopter, the other way is donkey, the other way is foot. So, you know, we're city people. We took the helicopter, but go on.
Right. So, and then Eric, so this woman just seems real pissed off, and it looks really awkward. And Eric is just standing there. He's not leaving. He's just standing and staring in the midst of this awkwardness. And so I motion him over, like, get out of there. Come on, let's go. Get out. Keep standing there.
Well, I got a little staring. I was on a pot brownie. I got a little creepy. I just kind of... But what happened was, so I went over to talk to Steven. I go, hey, how's it going? I'm Eric. And then as I got closer, I realized that this woman was actually a man, for sure raised as a man, born a man, and was somehow going through some sort of genetic alterization at the moment. Hormonal, maybe a pre-op transsexual, who, as soon as I walked over to say hi, seemed to get very possessive over Steven. And so I said, hey, what's going on? I'm Eric. She's like, just looked at me funny, and then I was like, oh yeah, I just met Steven earlier. We took the helicopter together. And then she goes, oh, this is your new boy? And I was like, oh, and she like got mad. And I was like, oh no, we just kind of hung out for a little bit. And then she's like, oh, you're just kind of staying one night and then leaving? Like, everything was like this jealousy kind of thing going on. The other thing is, I lost my sunglasses, so Emily let me borrow her sunglasses. So I had big, you know, Liberace-looking gold frame glasses on. So she, you know, and I got, you know, a trendy Los Angeles style. I got a tight shirt on. So, you know, maybe she thought something was going on. But all of a sudden, I was in the middle of this love triangle. I was thinking I was going to get, you know, tranny stomped, basically.
Right. I like the way that you described this tranny yesterday. Eric said that this guy looked like he was, you know, playing lacrosse all of his life. Maybe just beating people up with metal bars. And one day he was holding a bar against some guy's throat. He was like, you know what? Tired of holding bars against guys' throats.
I'd like a pair of tits.
Yeah. Ready for some tits, please.
That's kind of the vibe of this person, just so you know. So, you know, if you want to go down to the Grand Canyon, visit the Supai tribe, I advise it. It's very beautiful down at Havasu Falls.
And if you see the one, there's probably 150 people maybe living down in the Supai tribe. There's probably one transgender person. If you run into them, that's, you know.
Don't mention Eric.
Don't mention me.
Just piss that tranny off.
And don't get near a boyfriend, or you're going to get a lacrosse stick on the across your cranium. That's a cold-ass honky. Rolling in hella deep. So the other thing that just happened recently, peeing, right before we got in the car to, I always have to pee, and I said, Emily, pull over. And then she takes this weird exit ramp, which only elevates me, and then I only just kind of step over this barrier, but cars can come from like 8 different directions, so I have to angle my body where, you know, people can't see my penis while I'm trying to pee, right? So she just kind of pulls over on the exit instead of by a tree. Like right now I see trees, perfect, right there, you know. But no, we have to go on this ramp. So I'm peeing, and all of a sudden I see these two girls in a Nissan go by, and you know they can see what's going on, but then they keep drive, they can't, you know, they see I'm peeing and stuff, but then they drive away, and then I realize, oh man, my penis is in the rear view mirror. Then they honk at me, and what am I to do except go, hey, what's going on? You know, I just play it like, well, this is cool, you know.
At least you got honks. Ice on the fringe is so
damn frosty, the people like, damn. And Emily has a theory that when I had a joint with him in your car, that he was expecting a handjob transaction, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that when you approached him and you were like, hey, do you want to smoke some weed? And you're like, in this car, all private, alone by ourselves.
Yeah, but it is also illegal, and there were cops coming in and out of the helicopter sometimes.
Well, yeah, they were transporting convicts from the Supai village.
And you feel pretty paranoid after you eat an edible, you're just smoking weed, you get out of the car, and you see two cops. And then I was like, oh, fuck. And I just started giggling. And then I went over to Emily. I was like, do you think, can you smell me? Can you smell that I have weed on me?
Yeah, you were good. You're clean. But shit, it was 99
cents. I get copping it, washing it. About to go and get some compliments. Oh, I also, while we were, hiking down to the waterfalls after land, touching down in the Grand Canyon, you know, there's all these like yuppie hikers around that have like two, you know, like aluminum, like walking sticks, like hiking sticks, you know. They're just walking around in their like tight speedos and like walking sticks, taking pictures of everything with their sunglasses, all very expensive equipment, you know what I mean? I have such a disdain for yuppie hikers with walking sticks.
I could tell you do, but really it's just giving you four legs. They're pretty awesome.
All right, but
walking with walking sticks is incredibly practical, especially when you're going up a vertical slope.
Well, let me tell you exactly why I hate yuppies like this. Because I was telling Emily when we were getting back on the helicopter, I was like, those yuppies are going to try to angle themselves. They kept whispering. I was hearing them. Get, there's four seats. There's four window seats, okay? Four window seats. Whisper, whisper, whisper. So I knew, Emily, they're going to angle themselves so that you get the middle seat. They're all talking window seat action. And what did I say? The guy who actually did the final maneuver to make sure that you got the middle seat had hiking sticks.
I allowed that all to go down.
Yuppie-ass hiking sticks.
I didn't care because I had the front seat when we were going down into the cavern or canyon, and that was awesome.
But
there's only one front seat, so I took the middle seat.
I told you from the start, they're going to try to angle.
Who cares? I didn't mind.
You didn't. We wouldn't have wanted a window seat.
It was their first time on the helicopter.
That guy was using his hiking sticks to herd you into the middle seat. That guy was
myself.
He was GPSing like what and yelping what he was going to eat later. Oh, I want to make sure it's fucking gluten and free bread here. Ugh, I like the smell of my own shit. I got hiking sticks. Yuppie shit. That was that guy.
Okay.
it, copping it, washing it. About to go and get some compliments, passing up on those moccasins. Someone else has been walking in, bummy and grungy fucking men. I am stunting.
We also, when the helicopter came in and out, it was like touching down every 15 minutes while you were waiting for your helicopter ride, you know? And it kept spitting, it kept shooting up dirt in my mouth. And I kept having to spit. And I'm kind of sick right now, if you can't hear from my nasally Jewish grandmother voice that, you know, I'm sick. And I kept spitting on the ground because of all the grit. And Emily was accusing me of giving Indian people some kind of virus and having new smallpox epidemic to wipe out their population.
Well, Eric is sick and he's spitting all over the place. So he's trying to give these contagions to this pristine indigenous population.
I might just have allergies. It might be non-contagious, but it's probably a head cold.
We know it's contagious. I already got it. We're in a small, confined space.
And I just keep sneezing, coughing.
Breathing on me.
I'm not trying to get these people sick, but, you know.
See, I'm 1/16th American Indian, so I'm highly susceptible to your contagions.
No one cares we're 1/16th American Indian. Again, when you're on an Indian reservation where people are riding horses around, they're like harvesting maize and fucking, you know what I mean? They have goats, they're slaughtering their own animals, they're planting their own shit. You don't say, I'm 1/16th American Indian, I'm moving to New York City. They'll say, get the fuck out of here. That's what they'll say.
I think they would have said, welcome, sister. It's always a pleasure to meet fellow Indians.
I don't know. Well, here's the reason why. I felt, you know, the helicopter clearly was giving preferential treatment to the Indians. They were not giving them a yellow mark on the waiting list for the helicopter rides. And also, they had a reduced fare, you know, and it was actually kind of harder to get service. I had to kind of, like, walk up and you have to, like, talk to the people and kind of make sure that you're going to get... If you're not actively asking and stuff, you're just going to keep waiting and they're just going to keep, you know, having groups and groups of the natives go in front of you. So you kind of have to, like, go up there and ask them and stuff. So they were. It was a little interesting, and I, you know, our 1/16th status didn't get us away from being second-class citizens around the helicopter.
That's because you wouldn't let me tell them.
You could have told them. I would have, but I would have stayed away from them. Take your grandpa style. I'ma take your grandpa style. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hand-me-down? Thank you. Velour jumpsuit and some house slippers. Dookie brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it. They had a broken keyboard. I bought a broken... Look forward to the next episode, episode 10, when we hear from Spirit Wolf. Well, we already heard from Tiger Bomb. I think Tiger Bomb is not a credible spirit animal. I want to hear from Spirit Wolf about whether or not the aliens that come down December 21st, 2012, are they benevolent or are they evil? So stay tuned. This has been Highway Diary. Good night. But he was saying nothing, you know. Steven was very, very much under the domineering power of this, supi tranny.
That's another episode of Highway Diaries in the motherfucking bag. Anyway, listen up, motherfuckers. Friday, February 22nd, 2013, at 9:30 at Flappers Comedy Club in the Yoo-Hoo Room, I got a show. So that's, again, Burbank Flappers Comedy Club. Friday, February 22nd, 2013, 9:30, come out and watch me blow up the fucking room. As always, get on my Facebook, get on my Twitter handle. They're both there at Collarbox, because you know how I do. I got the shit wired.